Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. There's no business like your business. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank, banking for good. Member FDIC.
Are you ready?
Let's clear the air with Mark Schlereth.
It's gone from suck to blow.
What?
You know, in yesterday's show, Stokely and Zach, I think Brandon Stokely brought up an interesting point, and I think this is something you have to think about as a Broncos fan going into the kind of the procurement stage of the professional football season, where you're picking up free agents, and part of that is you're also letting people go. You're managing your cap. And this is what Brandon Stokely had to say about Derek Wolfe, friend of the program and a guy who's been a really, really good Bronco.
Well, when you look at his numbers, and it's about a $10 million savings, it's hard to ignore that if you're the Denver Broncos. And so I do expect them to move on from Derek Wolfe. Either a significant pay cut and stay here, or they'll just move on from him. Not that he didn't have a good year, but just he's getting up there in age, and they're looking to say spend this money elsewhere. There you go.
And see, I think what he's bringing up, and you and I have talked about this, Mike, a time or two, is I think he's bringing up the fact that this team is rebuilding. This team isn't where it needs to be. This team doesn't have the requisite talent to compete with the teams that are competing right now, the playoff teams in the National Football League. And they realize that, and the odds are by the time, you know, they are ready to compete, Derek Wolfe is going to be past his prime. He's going to be a guy that's not going to be here anymore anyhow. So why not trim the cap? Why not move on from guys like Derek Wolfe and guys like Brandon Marshall and guys like Darian Stewart and guys like Emmanuel Sanders and kind of continue to build this team youth-wise, save money, get two or three players to replace that production that was Derek Wolfe last year for a quarter of the cost. That's managing the cap. That's what's going on, and that's what you do when you're a rebuilding football team. So I tend to agree with exactly what Brandon Stokely said. And, you know, and I love Derek Wolfe, and I think he's been a really good Bronco. But the bottom line is it's about managing your cap and understanding where you are in life. You're a rebuilding football team. So I'd assume that Derek Wolfe probably won't be here next year. And the bottom line is, you know, he'll be playing for somebody else. So that part is sad, but that's the reality of playing football, and Wolfe will probably not get his cleats on the grass.
That was awesome.
Clear the air with Mark Schlereth.
If I see a guy without a hoodie on, you know I'm going to let him know. No. You put a hoodie on.
God, I'm going to miss that.
Right?
I mean, where are all the sound bites going? Where are they going?
That is a good point.
No more Vance. No more
Mike, I really don't care.
No more Joe Woods.
Put a little sugar on it.
Sprinkle a little sugar on it.
No more Derek Wolfe.
If I see a guy without a hoodie on, you know I'm going to let him know. You know, you put a good hoodie on.
Boy, yes. I hope this
ball new security is job security.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. At least we still have our franchise quarterback.
I learned what it is to be a franchise quarterback.
For now, Elway already said, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Short-term fix.
Short-term. I mean.
Well, I hope this new crop of Broncos can deliver. They got big shoes to fill.
I know. Yeah, we haven't won a lot of games, but we've won the soundbite game.
Haven't we?
These last 2 years, although, you know, not good in the football realm, really good. In the sound.
I mean, those poor saps in New England have to cover 12-win AFC championship teams every year, but we got sound bites.
Absolutely.
Man, do we get sound bites. All right, well, I guess I want to know, what is the purpose of dumping salary? Because you're right, you can create salary cap space, but what are you going to do about it? I mean, do you want to be like one of those teams that are like the Cleveland Browns or something like that, or Indianapolis Colts or Jets or Bills, teams that clear a lot of cap space and then don't do anything with it. I mean, the Colts have $122 million right now of cap space. The Jets, 98. The Bills, 84. The Browns and Raiders, around 75. Now, the Broncos are actually below the league average of cap space. They're only at $37 million. So I understand the idea of trying to create more cap space. Excuse you. But for
But I was actually a yawn.
But for who?
Well, here's the thing about clearing cap space, Mike. So this is kind of my belief of what's going on. And I was part of the league in 1993 when free agency became, when free agency, you know, was first, you kind of hit the league, right? I was part of the league in the Plan B free agency where you protected, you know, the majority of your roster, and there's a couple guys you left unprotected. Those were Plan B free agents, and those guys could travel around, but that was only for the kind of, you know, backup players that ended up getting to go to other teams. So then when real free agency hit, you know, that was the Reggie White, you know, lawsuit, and you know, it opened up the floodgates. And early in free agency, you know, a lot of people and a lot of teams coveted other people's players. And so you could get really good players. You know, you're like, well, we're not going to pay that guy. And I think part of it is because the league just didn't have to pay guys back then. So other teams would pay that guy, and you could really bolster your team. I think there's a few key free agents that get on the market that still have a lot of game left. But I just don't think that happens very often. So the truth of the matter is, clearing cap space should be used, if you're a good football team, to sign your own players, to pay your own players, to pay the Von Millers of the world, to pay the Chris Harrises of the world, to pay the guys that have proven that they can play within your organization. That's what it should be mostly used for, and then to plug a few holes. I just don't believe that you build a roster through free agents, because I just think most of the guys that hit free agency, you know, are flawed to some degree.
Well, it's not like the Broncos have a list of free agents that you would say, you know, these are the guys that they have to bring back, right? I mean, you look at the list. I mean, here they are. You tell me which one of these guys you're clearing salary cap space to go out and sign. Jared Valdir, Domantas Pekko, Tremaine Brock.
Mm.
Bradley Roby?
Right.
I mean, are we getting ready to break the bank for Bradley Roby? Matt Paradis? Shaq Barrett?
Probably.
Zach Kerr, Billy Turner?
Right.
Jeff Heirman? Max Garcia? I mean, those are your free agents.
Right. Probably none of the above, you know? I think you look at it, like, I would say that guys that you would want to, you know, to redo, guys that you'd want. I think you want Chris Harris Jr. long term. You know, Bradley Roby, depending on what the market bears, you know, they'll look at Bradley Roby like, hey, he's not, you know, he's good, but is he ready to be, you know, Aqib Talib? Is he ready to have that kind of impact? And the answer is probably not. So are you going to go in a different direction? Are you going to? And one thing we've seen guys like Marcus Lattimore come into the league and play at a very high level, the cornerback position. We've seen a guy like Denzel Ward come in and play at a very high level at the cornerback position. So is there a guy out there in the college game that can come right in and become your number one type corner? And it's been proven they can find those guys. So maybe that's a direction you go for. And then you have a guy locked up for 5 years and you're paying him essentially nothing.
Somebody on the RamosLaw.com text line, you clear cap space to use that as an opportunity to see younger, cheaper talent. So when a Fletcher Cox is available, you have the dough. Well, Fletcher Cox didn't go anywhere. He stayed put.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it comes down to, here's the thing about free agency. Free agency at its core, you always have to remember this. And I'll tell you what that is next. So free agency, that's something we're looking forward to. It's the quickest way to go out and improve your football team. And if the idea raised by Brandon Stokely yesterday is be on the lookout that there could be a number of key Broncos that are cut. Derek Wolfe, Emmanuel Sanders, Ron Leary, Brandon Marshall, Darian Stewart, all possible candidates for it. The question is, what are you doing with that money that you're saving? If it's to throw it back into free agency, we already went over the list of their own free agents, and you said none of them are somebody that you would have to have. And that includes Matt Paradis, by the way?
I think Matt Paradis would be a guy that I would want to to invest in. Like, that would be a guy, because I think, one, you've got so many issues across that line of scrimmage, and Matt Paradis is smart, he's tough, and he's a good, really good football player. So I think that would be one. Like I say, Chris Harris Jr. would be one that I would definitely be like, I don't want to lose that guy. But of the rest of the guys you talked about, I like them all. Don't get me wrong. And I'm not trying to push them out of town, but I'm saying that, you know, the way I look at this football team, the roster building that needs to be done and all those things, I could see all those guys moving on.
Well, here's the thing then you got to realize about free agency. Why would all of these Bronco free agents be free agents that the Broncos would be willing to move on from? It's because, you know, that they don't really want them, right? I mean, that's the essence of free agency. And that's why you got to be careful how much stock you put into, hey, we're going to be able to go fix everything in free agency. Because at its core, free agency is made up of guys that the teams that know them best are prepared to move on from. And that, to me, always raises a red flag. Now, it's not to say that free agency can't work out. It can. But to think that you're going to be able to build a huge off-season strategy on, we're just going to bring in a bunch of new guys via free agency to, first of all, replace a lot of these free agents that were willing to walk, plus some of these proven vets who are still very productive that we're ready to cut because of their salary. And we're going to plug all these holes.
Right.
Through free agency?
Here's the beauty, though, of where you are right now. And so I would say this, Mike. I would say that when you have, you know, a new head coach that comes from Chicago and a new coordinator that comes from the Bears, and then you've got, you know, an offensive coordinator that's coming from the Niners, and you have multiple other coaches, you know, you've got a new O-line coach that was considered head coaching material coming from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, here's the thing. They have got connections to players and organizations that are backups that they feel like, or they know, this guy's about ready. Like, this guy, hey, this guy's a really good player. He just happened to be, you know, behind our first round pick, Roquan Smith. Or this guy is a really good player. He's a backup for us because, you know, DeCastro is an all-pro guard. But, like, in any other system, he'd be a starter and he'd be a good player, and he's ready to explode. And so you have intimate knowledge of backup players or free agent-to-be players that could really help your new roster. So that's one benefit of, you know, wholesale changes that have gone on here. You're more intimate with other rosters than you are with the roster that you are now coaching. So going after some of those players, whether it's, you know, some O-linemen from the 49ers or some backup players from the 49ers who, you know, happen to be on the verge of being really, you know, really prominent players that are free agents. So there is kind of a knowledge base there that you wouldn't have as a coaching staff from, you know, from, if you retain the same coaching staff. It's just like knowledge of the players at the Senior Bowl, you know, or when you're coaching the Senior Bowl, you've got a more intimate feel for those players than you would just being there watching the practices.
Now some free agents make sense for a lot of reasons. And I want to throw a name at you. And I think this is somebody that should be on the Broncos target list for free agency. Pittsburgh Steelers guard Ramon Foster.
Mm-hmm.
I think it makes sense from a lot of standpoints. First right. of all, it's an upgraded guard, which you need. Mm-hmm. I mean, you need mm-hmm. two new guards, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you need two new guards. Foster, good player?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Plays with a bit of an attitude?
Yeah. How old is he?
33.
You know, on the older end, but
played for Munchak. Munchak knows him. Mm-hmm. He knows Munchak. And if you're talking about somebody who you could bring in, who could sort of be that buffer, that conduit between mm-hmm. what Munchak is trying to coach and preach and sell, and right away you got a player who knows all about him and can spread the good word to Munchak.
Yeah,
Ramon Foster.
Yeah, he's like Ramon's a good player. Is he an elite player? No. Is he a good player? Absolutely. Also, you know, he'd understand and help, you know, help the room understand Mike Munchak's kind of philosophical approach and, you know, the way they call things. So I think that would make sense. Bottom line, and like I said, Mike Munchak would be one of those guys that would have intimate knowledge of Ramon Foster. So if Mike Munchak goes, hey, he's not a guy that I want, you know, he doesn't have the, let's say it's not the work ethic or the whatever. I mean, I don't know. I don't really know Ramon Foster, so I don't want to throw that on him. But you know what I'm saying. If all of a sudden that guy's a free agent and Mike Munchak is like, no, we're moving on. We're going to go in a different direction. That tells you all you need to know. And it's exactly my point is that when you come from another organization and you have intimate knowledge of that organization and, you know, remember, the Skaner Raider, he was with Atlanta for a year or two. So, you know, he's got some knowledge of that roster as well.
All right. Here's another angle to what's going on here as we talk about free agency and a number of Bronco players that could be on the move. How much of scheme change plays a role in all this? Is the idea of scheme so stark from different teams, different coaches, that if you're bringing in Vic Fangio to run your defense and you're going back to a Shanahan-type approach on offense, that it's such a dramatic shift in scheme philosophy that it's time to just move out the old players and bring in new players that fit that scheme? The idea being that these guys don't fit that scheme.
Yeah, I get that all the time with, you gotta bring in smaller, quicker offensive linemen for the zone scheme, and you'll hear guys say that all the time, cause somebody said it, you know, 20 years ago, and then everybody adopts it and jumps all over it, and I think that's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. I think it's so dumb. And you know, you gotta understand that most everybody, you know, everybody runs zone, everybody runs some gap, everybody runs some counter and some, you know, whatever, you know, every pin and pull, all that kind of stuff. The bottom line is, you can play or you can't play. You can either take dudes off the ball, you can't take dudes off the ball. And I just don't buy, you gotta have good feet, but the bottom line, you know, they'll be like, well, if this guy doesn't have the elite level feet, you know, we gotta be an all gap team. Well, that guy doesn't have elite level feet, you know, he's gonna be a liability in pass pro and, you know, he may be able to line up and just knock dudes off the ball, but you just can't line up and knock dudes off the ball one on one all the time because there's variety in play calling. You just can't say, okay, all we're going to run this game is a gap scheme where you're double teaming at the point of attack the entire game. That's not how football works. So I don't buy into all. I don't buy in. I just want good players.
Rich Scangarello, despite his time as an Idaho Vandal, does not have a whole lot of experience when it comes to running an offense. Is that a red flag at all for Mark? Four Down Territory coming up next.
Professional football in America is a special game.
This is Four Down Territory.
I'd like to start out with a thank you to John Elway.
That just happened.
All right, now, I'll kill a snitch. I'm not saying I have. I'm not saying I have.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountain?
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Gentlemen, this is the real thing. This is what you've been trained for.
First down.
Do you throw it short, intermediate, deep? Do you run it inside, outside, have deceptives? Do you run gap schemes, zone schemes, play action, movement passing game? So when I say balance, I'm not necessarily talking about how many runs, how many passes. You need to have balance within your passing game and in your running game.
There is Vic Fangio talking about what he wants offensively. Rich Scangarello, now the new offensive coordinator. He comes over from San Francisco where he was the quarterback's coach. When it comes to being an actual OC, doesn't have a whole lot of experience, and his experience that he does have doesn't exactly come at, you know, big time places. It's Millsaps,
mm-hmm.
Northern Arizona, and Wagner. Wagner in 2016 was his most recent time spent as an offensive coordinator. So, does his relative lack of experience calling plays give you pause?
Sure, of course it does. I mean, it would have to. Obviously, you've called plays at a small school, and I'm a small school guy, and I just look at that like football is football. You know, it's just, guys are maybe not the prototypical size or the prototypical speed or whatever, but, you know, it still is calling plays, but the NFL is a different level. You know, there's a different level of athlete. There's a different level of, things that you have to put up with, and there's a different level of, you know, of communication and a different level of game planning that goes on at this level. And, you know, trust that he has got a great feel for that. He wanted to learn, so much so under Kyle Shanahan, that he essentially quit his job to go walk on for the Falcons, you know, and spend a year getting tutored by Kyle Shanahan. So, I mean, it's a great commitment. It's a, you know, take a couple steps backward to move forward, and it certainly has paid off for him. So good for him. I appreciate the work ethic, the drive, you know, the willingness to basically sacrifice money to get an education. You know, you're paying for it in that regard. But again, there's going to be, like anything else, there's a learning curve. When you first get in this thing, you know, there's a learning curve, and you got to learn to play at that speed and learn to call plays at that speed.
Next in four down territory.
Second down. I mean, if you're not motivated this week, you got a major problem. I mean, this is the week where, you know, you shouldn't have to put any extra in. This is what it's all about. You sign up any chance you get to play an AFC Championship game. So I don't care where, when, time, cold, weather, rain, blood, don't matter.
There's your guy.
Blood.
I don't think Tom Brady bleeds, does he?
Oh, he doesn't bleed his own blood. I'll tell you that, right?
Nobody makes me bleed my own blood.
Nobody makes him bleed his own blood. He bleeds somebody else's blood.
So for the first time in 1,218 days, the Patriots are an underdog. And the last time they were an underdog, week two of the 2015 season. They're an underdog this week, and boy, are they playing it up. So much so that they're selling t-shirts that say, bet against us. How much of playing the us against the world mentality really works?
Oh, it's big. It's big, Mike. You know, we're simple creatures, there's no question. And when you feel disrespected, that's a big thing. Especially in the sports world, when you feel disrespected, like people aren't giving you your due. You hear guys talk about it all the time. The reason they talk about it all the time is because it's real. Like Tom Brady still breaks down in tears when he thinks about getting passed over. He's got all the quarterbacks' names that were drafted before him. You don't think that's real. That stuff is real, man.
But they've been to 8 straight AFC championship games. They're trying to go to their 3rd straight Super Bowl, 4th in the last 5 years. You really honestly think that they can, you know, put that chip on their shoulder?
This is your problem.
My problem.
Yeah, this is your problem. You are trying to throw logic into an illogical situation. Like playing football and getting paid handsomely for a living, it's not logical. Like doing what you do, you have to have a certain amount of, you know, you've got to be kind of throw caution to the wind and have a certain amount of disregard for your own safety to play this stupid game. I love this game, man. And so, like you're trying to use logic in an illogical equation. It doesn't work. No, it's 100% real. They're pissed. That's 100% real.
By the way, for the texter, 5453, text of the day, there's no way I can read that on the air. But you got us laughing here. Next in four down territory.
Third down. Tell Sean Payton, keep talking that. We're going to see him soon. You feel me?
Fair enough.
Yeah, because I like what he was saying on the sidelines too. So tell him, keep talking that. And I hope you see me soon. You feel me? And then we're going to have a good little, nice little bowl of gumbo together.
Oh, snap. All right. So you got, after the last Saints-Rams game, Sean Payton talked about how they really liked the matchup of Marcus Peters on Michael Thomas.
Right.
And Peters was exposed by Michael Thomas time and time again, so much so that Payton acknowledged after the game that they liked the matchup, quote, a lot. Mm-hmm. Which is then what led to Marcus Peters. Now, the two are downplaying it this week. But, again, back to your idea of, you know, creating that chip. How much of a bonus, a help, is that going to be for the Rams and Marcus Peters walking into the game feeling the way you know he's going to feel?
Well, here's where it will help, Mike. He's got a chip on him, and he knows that Sean Payton's 100% right. They went after Marcus Peters, as has everybody else gone after Marcus Peters. Marcus Peters has always played undisciplined football. It's why there's a couple of reasons he's no longer in Kansas City, right? I mean, his gambling had turned into the most interceptions in the start of a career, I think, the first 3 years of a career. But what's happened is he's made less of those dynamic big plays for his team, and he's created more dynamic big plays for the opposite team. And that's when you say, uh-oh, here we go. He plays an undisciplined style of football. He's handsy, he's grabby, and he breaks on the first move on a route because he wants to pick it off and take it to the house, and he's gotten himself beat on a consistent basis. So what does that mean? Does it mean all of a sudden because he's been challenged that he pays attention in practice, that he works on, you know, recognition and works on actually covering guys and not jumping routes, and therefore, you know, he's not beat on the double moves? That's where all this talk comes into focus. You know, it hones your focus during the week of practice so that, like, the Tom Brady stuff with, oh, you know, we're disrespected and we're underdogs and bet against us, right? If everybody's focus is that much more intense during the course of the week, why they prepare for this game, how much better are you going to play on Sunday? You know, I mean, that's where this stuff works. So I would expect to hone Marcus Peters, you know, practice habits and his concentration, and that's what's going to help him.
Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
He's back, throws along down the sideline, and the pass is caught against Antonio Brown, stepping into the end zone for the Pittsburgh Steelers touchdown. He just flew by the corner.
Steelers radio, for those who may want Antonio Brown anywhere, including here, the Steelers are playing it coy when it comes to AB. According to team president Art Rooney II, he said the Steelers are not closing any doors, that he's open to options, but he said, quote, there aren't many signs out there that that's going to happen. So you really think the Steelers want to hold on to Antonio Brown, or is this all designed to try to drive up the value?
I think it's try to drive up the value.
They can't have him on that team next year, can they?
No, absolutely not. And did you see the latest? Now there's some burner account that just was they think it's a burner account. They think Antonio Brown's operating it and on Twitter, and that it's like all it does is support Antonio Brown. It's like his little mouthpiece account. It's hilarious. You can have that dude. Go ahead. You can have him.
That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. The only man on television who has better hair than Mark Schlereth.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Shut your mouth.
Two words. Mel Kiper.
Oh, he does have huge hair. That hair is glorious.
What he has to say in his first mock draft, what the Broncos will do at 10. That's next. Get to Mel Kiper's mock draft 1.0 here in a second. But as we talk about Rich Scangarello and his background, which, you know, gives you some pause because, you know, it's not like he's been an offensive coordinator for a long time. But do you know where he got his start in coaching? It was in Idaho. Idaho was his second stop.
Really?
But he got his first stop at UC Davis. Now, why do I bring up UC Davis?
I have no idea, Mike.
Well, here
I'm
you
interested.
Go. Here
okay.
you go. So
okay.
this comes
the
in.
Football.
Hold on. Hold. Build it up.
Okay.
So this comes in from a texter. I'm a UC Davis alumni. Scangarello got his start there. UC Davis surprisingly has an impressive coaching lineage. Chris Peterson is a Davis guy. So is Dan Hawkins.
It's Division I football. It's the Big 12. It ain't intramurals. You got
2 weeks after finals, you got a week in July 4th, and you got a week before camp starts. That's a month. That's probably more vacation than you guys get. And we're a little bummed out that we don't get 3 weeks. Go play intramurals, brother. Go play intramurals.
Ah, oh, still an all-time classic. Still wears so well so many years later.
Go play intramurals.
Look, it was just a cheap attempt to play that. That's all
I get you.
Can you really blame me, though?
No.
Can you really blame me after listening to that 25 seconds of just pure radio gold?
Yeah. Speaking of sound bites, it's just a great, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. That is like a Gundy from Oklahoma State sound bite. Like, you just can't,
Gundy
play.
Still, look.
Twitter.
Yeah, you can't play Gundy sound bites.
There is a Mount Olympus.
Mm-hmm.
Or Mount Rushmore, however you want to put it. Probably Mount Rushmore, because there's only a handful you could put up there.
Yeah, Mount Olympus is more the Greek gods.
Yeah, you can put more on Mount Olympus, right. But there's
Zeus
less.
Zeus lives up there.
Right. There's less on Mount Rushmore.
Right.
That ain't true!
But, so you gotta be careful, because it's only a select few, but Gundy's rant is up there on Mount Rushmore.
Oh, yeah.
Gundy's is up there.
Get your facts straight.
Hawkins would be like on Mount Olympus. It's good, but it's not Mount Rushmore. Gundy's up there on Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
Probably Disney. Denny Green's probably up there on Mount Rushmore.
We're on to Cincinnati.
That's more of an Olympus. Jim Mora.
Oh.
I mean, playoffs?
Yeah, he's probably
playoffs.
He's probably Rushmore.
Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
All right. Herm Edwards. What about you play to win the game?
Herm, that's a tough one. I don't know if that just doesn't feel like Mount Rushmore. Definitely Mount Olympus. I just don't know if that's Mount Rushmore. Well, we'll take your recommendations on the RobSlot.com text line, 303-713-1043. This one also came in. The moment you said someone on TV had better hair than Stink, my streaming stopped. Honest to goodness. Obviously, God disapproves. Well,
yes, the Lord knows whose hair he blessed. Mel's hair is just bigger. It's more fluffy and bigger.
But it's more...
It's
iconic.
Okay.
You know, right. You probably have better TV hair, but his hair is iconic hair.
It is. It's got his hair... Although I do think my hair has its own Twitter account, but I'm sure Mel's does too.
Your hair has its own Twitter account?
Yes.
Come on. I need confirmation on that. Did you make it? Are you like Antonio Brown?
No, it's not my own burner account. I think there's a Schlereth's hair account. Hold on. Let me look. Can I get that for new music? This is the stuff I look up. You look up actual stats and facts.
Yes.
And stuff like that.
I look up big board here in front of me, and you're looking for Schlereth knockoff Twitter accounts.
Schlereth hair. Let me just look at that. And it didn't come up on Schlereth's hair.
It is. It's called Mark Schlereth's hair.
Yes. Yeah. See?
There's one follower I hear. Is that you?
Schlereth locks. Schlereth locks.
There's more than one?
Yeah. The 161 followers on Schlereth locks. Let's see.
Schlereth hair, Schlereth locks.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's Schlereth locks. I'm gonna follow Schlereth locks. I'm gonna make a point.
I don't know why you wouldn't.
I think that's.
I wonder what it probably hasn't said a lot lately. Let's see when they haven't tweeted since 2014. Schlereth locks hasn't.
I have a feeling there's going to be an uptick here.
Right. Just hanging out, looking good, opening doors for Mark Schlereth. That's what my locks say.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
This is kind of fun.
This is what Mel Kiper, his big board, his mock draft 1.0. Here we go. Nick Bosa. Everybody has Nick Bosa going number one.
Right.
To the
Arizona Cardinals.
Arizona Cardinals. Excuse me. Sorry, he doesn't have the teams here. Hold on a second. There we go.
Okay.
I got it. Sorry, I was looking at the wrong one. Duff threw a lot at me. All right, so he's got Bosa going number one. He's got Josh Allen Offensive, actually an outside linebacker from Kentucky going to the 49ers at number two.
Okay.
He's got Quinnen Williams, defensive tackle from Alabama, going to the Jets. Greedy Williams.
Greedy.
Oh, I would love
to see. That's a great, Greedy. That is a great football name.
Well, it should surprise you that he's got him going to the Raiders.
The Raiders.
Okay. Can you hear Gruden talking about Greedy?
Oh my.
We got this guy named Greedy.
I'll tell you what, man, this Greedy guy. Man, this guy is greedy with the football.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers at number five, offensive lineman Jonah Williams from Alabama.
He's a good player, man. I'd like to see him here solve our left tackle issues.
New York Giants, subscribing to my theory that you take a quarterback every single year in the draft until you find your guy. They take Dwayne Haskins at number six from Ohio State. Jacksonville Jaguars at number seven, Cody Ford, offensive lineman from Oklahoma. Detroit Lions. I mentioned this name yesterday, especially after you started talking about Vic Fangio and how much he loves to build his defense around linebackers. I said, well, what about Devin White, the linebacker from LSU? Mel has him going number eight to Detroit.
Did you see, by the way, that guy, he has seven horses and he rides around the LSU campus with his horses?
Get out. Really?
One of them's named Daisy. How does he not fit for the? He should be a Bronco.
We got to trade up for that guy.
He could ride out on Thunder before the game in his full uniform, full regalia.
Oh, that'd be so cool,
right?
Even better, he's on his horse. He's on Daisy.
Uh huh.
He and Thunder lead the team out of the tunnel.
Right.
My God, would that be cool?
Daisy and Thunder.
Yeah.
And then they have horse babies?
Yeah. Stop at midfield, nuzzle.
And then the horse babies would come out? Little colts?
Horse babies?
Yeah.
They're just
colts. Yeah, colts. Horse babies.
Horse babies.
Yeah. What would they be named? If it's the Daisy and Thunder.
I don't
know. It'd
be
like,
what would be the spawn of Daisy and Thunder?
What would Daisy and Thunder combined? The Sunder. The little Colt baby.
Anyway, Buffalo Bills at number nine.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Rashawn Gary, defensive end tackle.
Gary.
From Michigan, which brings us to number 10.
Oh.
Now, remember when McShay had his mock, he had the Broncos taking, the name escapes me for a second. Hold on.
Okay.
I don't need the afternoon music. I got it right here. He had the Broncos at number 18. This is at the point when he first did his mock draft. They were picking number 18. He had the Broncos taking a wide receiver, Marquise Brown, out of Oklahoma, which that went over like a lead balloon around here.
Mm-hmm.
So, here we go. Number 10, according to Mel Kiper, in his first mock draft, the Denver Broncos at number 10 take DeAndre Baker, cornerback, Georgia. His explanation, former first-round pick Bradley Roby is a free agent. Chris Harris Jr. broke his leg, turns 30. Cornerback is the number one need for the Broncos. Baker isn't far behind Greedy Williams as the top corner in this class. General manager John Elway hit on his 2018 draft class, and he needs another good one to get the team back on track under new coach Vic Fangio. All right, how would you feel if they went cornerback at number 10?
I would feel fine about it. I mean, they've got a need. They've got a need at cornerback. They've got a need at offensive lineman. The two best offensive linemen are already off the board. Like, again, I am a believer in the best player available. One, I believe in that. And then best player available at positions of need. And so, I mean, there are plenty of positions of need. I wouldn't have any issue with them taking, you know, with them taking a corner or an offensive lineman, or, you know, if that's the best player available at that position, yeah. The thing about having a lot of holes to fill,
yeah,
is you don't have to be position specific.
Right.
I almost said Pacific. Position specific, which is, you know, an area in the ocean.
Yeah.
But we're not talking about that right now.
It's trapped in an atoll.
Right.
Don't know what that is.
No, I don't. What was it?
Atoll.
Atoll?
Yeah.
That guy's a far bit ataller than the other guy.
That's not what it is.
Oh. Atoll?
Yeah.
Etal Brute?
Never mind. No. Anyway, and atoll.
Now you gotta tell me what an atoll is.
It's a ring-shaped coral reef island or series of inlets.
How would that even be
It's basically like its own little island on the middle of nowhere.
An atoll.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Dirk Pitt has ever lived on an atoll?
Yes, he has. He was probably stranded on one.
Right. He got shipwrecked. He swam to an atoll.
Yep.
And set up camp,
made a raft out of like, you know, bamboo shoots and coconuts and then, you know, sailed back.
Yeah.
Where the ladies were waiting.
Right. Probably picked up a couple ladies on the way.
With a tequila.
I love that guy.
So, just so you know, after he has the Broncos taking a cornerback, there are some more offensive linemen right there. Juwan Taylor out of Florida, he has going number 11.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, yeah.
And that's about it for offensive linemen. So, from Mel. So, cornerback, offensive lineman, I don't think you can go wrong with either one of those positions. As long as it's one of those positions, right? Or, what about quarterback? Now, his other quarterbacks that he has going in the first round, he does have Kyler Murray going 13th to the Dolphins.
Wow.
That one's building a lot of steam.
Oh,
the idea of Kyler Murray to the Dolphins.
I don't doubt at all that Kyler Murray, I mean, one, you know, they rate him in the 20s or 30s, that he's going to go in the top 15 picks. I don't doubt that at all. You know, people are just going to drive him up there, which is good if you like one of these guys in the second round. If you're not, you know, if you're not a Kyler Murray quote unquote guy, if you don't like the 5'9" and all that, that it's going to drive, he's going to drive up, which means other guys are going to slide down.
By the way, he's got Mel Kiper has one other quarterback going in the first round. Hi. Who do you think it is?
Drew Locke.
Nope. It's Daniel Jones out of Duke.
Oh, really?
Guess where he has him going.
Daniel Jones out of Duke. No, I mean...
New England.
Yeah. Gosh. All right, that makes sense. So anyway, that's what New England does, though.
Hey, it's the first of about 7, 8, 9 mock drafts that'll come out. But that's, you know, just interesting that most of the mocks have the Broncos not taking a quarterback.
Right. And they only go through the first round. So it's, you know, I mean, there's like I said, other people will get driven down in the second round. That's good for the Broncos.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to eFirstBank.com/business for more details.